Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Do you know what the word fragile means? Fragile means something is easy to break or get hurt, so you have to handle it very carefully. A glass cup is fragile, and so are a lot of pretty decorations that people have around their houses. Living creatures can also be fragile, like a butterfly with delicate wings or a newborn baby just brought into the world. When something is fragile, it's good to treat it with care and special attention so nothing bad happens to it. Today's guest is here to tell us about an especially fragile animal, the baby hummingbird.
They were so tiny and vulnerable. They were scary. Their little nest was like as big as a quarter. And the babies had hatched out of eggs the size of navy beans. They were born the size of bumblebees. And by the time I met them, they were already in the care of my friend Brenda Sherburn LaBelle. They were 10 and 12 days old. And you never saw more pathetic, vulnerable creatures. And yet, you know, they grow into these fast, fierce, incredible, glittering gems that rule the sky like no other bird.
If you listen to our show a lot, you might recognize the voice of Cy Montgomery. She's a naturalist and author who loves animals, big and small. Cy is always on the hunt for new animal friends, and when her human friend, Brenda, told her that she was taking care of two newborn hummingbirds found by a local couple, Cy knew that she had to be there to help and learn how to care for baby hummingbirds.
So this couple had been delighted to learn that they had a hummingbird nest in their yard, and they loved seeing the mother come and feed her babies, and they watched every day. And she would make a lot of trips to feed her babies. The average hummingbird will make something like 10 to 110 trips a day to get enough nectar and bugs to feed their babies. So they were seeing this mother feed the babies and knew that the nest was somewhere in this one vine. Well, all of a sudden, they weren't seeing the mother anymore, and they became very concerned. And in the morning, they located the nest, and the babies were nearly dead. So they looked up their local bird rehabilitator, and it was Wildcare. And they brought the nest in, and then Wildcare immediately called Brenda. So she rushed down and took the babies to her incubator, where they were kept in a warm, safe space, and we would feed them.
Brenda is an expert at caring for baby hummingbirds, which is no easy task because, like we talked about earlier, baby hummingbirds are incredibly fragile.
She actually spent years being trained to rescue and rehabilitate and release baby hummingbirds because it's not something the average person can do. First, you have to feed them every 20 minutes by syringe from dawn to dusk. And it has to be the exact right food. So they need to have a balance of nectar. They need to have freshly squished bugs, hundreds of them that you squish with a mortar and pestle. You have to have enzymes, and you have to have vitamins, and you have to have minerals. And you mix it up and feed just the right amount by syringe. Because, of course, if you don't feed them enough, they'll starve. But worse, if you feed them too much, like a bubble, they will pop. So I was just terrified at first to do anything with these little birds. They're so delicate. Just touching them with your finger can damage their feathers. And their tiny little feet, they're as thin as embroidery thread. And you're just so frightened that you're going to hurt them, and you have to stick down their throat what looks like the Empire State Building, you know, this huge, to them, syringe. But if you ever watch a mother hummingbird feed her babies or a video of one, it looks like they're little sword swallowers just from the get-go. So Brenda really had to be well-trained for years. She had apprenticed to somebody, and I was so grateful to her for calling me when she got in these two baby Hummers. I flew across the country instantly to be at her side and help her.
As Cy and Brenda worked together to care for the baby hummingbirds, they faced a lot of different obstacles.
All kinds of things can go wrong. The first morning that I woke up in Brenda's house, I slept with the baby, so at dawn, I just could not wait to wake up and see the babies. And one of them had been kicked out of the nest by the other one. I couldn't see it because it was dark and you couldn't turn on a light because they were supposed to be sleeping and you're mimicking what's going on. And then we put the baby back in the nest. Everything seemed fine. But a few days later, after we're feeding them and they're gaining weight and they're starting to look really good, and we think we even know what kind they are, we thought, you know, these must be Alan's hummingbirds. But then they started scratching. Those little thin feet started scratching at their heads. And at first it was just cute, the way that you might scratch an itch. But then they started doing it kind of frantically. And we used the magnifying glass to see that they had mites. And mites can kill them. And the medicine that you use to kill the mites can kill them. And it was a very scary time for Brenda and I to apply the medicine. They hate it. You have to dip them in water. They're screaming. Of course, they don't want to be dipped in water. They don't want to have insecticide brushed with a Q-tip over their delicate feathers. We were just so scared. And they didn't eat at first, and they weren't moving at first, and their little eyes looked sunken. And oh, it was just so scary and awful. But it was while Zuni and Maya were recovering from their mite infestation treatment that we decided, let's name them. We're facing it. We love these birds.
Luckily, the hummingbirds Zuni and Maya were able to recover from their mite infestation, and soon they were ready to learn to fly.
It takes us longer to raise a baby hummingbird than a mom. And you're feeding them really high-quality food, but then there's the whole issue of how are you going to learn to fly? Now, I can't teach that to a hummingbird, and neither could Brenda. But over the years, she had developed a series of little cages that once they moved out of the incubator, and we would take them for little walks in their nests outside so they could feel the breeze and hear the birds and feel the sunshine. And then we put them in these small, actually it started out like a utility basket where they start to learn to perch. That's a real skill, perching. We don't think about it as anything, but it, you know, when babies learn to crawl and then they sit and then they walk, it's the same thing with hummingbirds, except what hummingbirds can do makes what we do look lame. I mean, not only can they fly, but they can hover. And they're the only birds in the world that can truly hover. And it's a skill that normally you would need your mom to teach. But she basically builds a series of little hummingbird gymnasiums so that they can teach themselves to fly.
With the help of these hummingbird gymnasiums, soon the baby hummingbirds were ready to go back into the wild.
When we let the first of the two babies go, they were born several days apart. And that's always the case with hummingbirds. There's usually two eggs in the nest and one hatches before the other. And when we let the first bird go, at first, the baby was like attacked by all these other adult hummingbirds. Because as you know, if you have a feeder, hummingbirds are vicious fighters. There's all kinds of mythology that they're really like reincarnated Aztec warriors because they're such fierce fighters. And every food source, every nectar source, that's mine. It's not yours. It's not a community thing. It's mine. And so the males will defend these things like, man, they spend most of their time, more time than even drinking themselves from your feeder. They spend defending it from some other bird that might drink out of it. So our first little guy was just kept getting chased away by all the adult hummingbirds. And what he figured out to do was he would hover in front of our faces. He would come to us and be like, Mom, help. And we would run in and we would get a little syringe filled with nectar and we would hold it up and he would hover and sip from it. And then he would try again.
Sai was happy to be able to help her hummingbird friend, and she was also pleased that even when both hummingbirds were released, they hung around close to home so that she could see them frequently and watch them get to know the world.
The Allen's hummingbirds behave differently from, for instance, the Anna's hummingbirds. When you release an Anna's hummingbird, that animal flies off and you just don't see it ever again. But with Maya and Zuni, the Allens hang around for days. That was very rewarding to be able to recognize our friend coming to us and know that we could kind of help him deal with life a little bit. And it's funny that we could recognize which bird was ours. I mean, of course, he didn't belong to us, but which bird was the bird that we knew? We could tell because of his behavior. He would hover right in front of our faces. It was great. And one of the things that was wonderful to see that I'll never forget was when you're first set free, you're just curious about everything. And he hovered in front of one of Brenda's sculptures, which wasn't painted red. Now, as you know, hummingbirds love red. They love red so much they'll try to pollinate red cars. But this was not a red sculpture. This was, I think it was not any particular color either. I think it was like made out of cement or some material that wasn't colorful. But this hummingbird, this baby hummingbird, spent more time hovering and looking at that sculpture than the average visitor to an art museum. And that was a wonderful thing to watch.
Sai's experience caring for baby hummingbirds was extraordinary. She was blown away by the tiny creatures that she gets to work with.
For me, their vulnerability, their tininess, their delicacy is the source of their wonder. I mean, when you think of these tiny little birds, hummingbirds really are made of air. They've got 9 huge air sacs in their body, 2 huge lungs, and 1 huge heart. All of it is air. Their feathers are mostly made of air. They are so delicate, but this delicacy is like the trade-off that makes them the most spectacular birds in the world. Hummingbirds actually have been known to live more than 10 years, which is astonishing when you think of them essentially as little bubbles wrapped in feathers. And they can make more hummingbirds. In fact, you know, 1 year later, if they live just 1 year, they can replace themselves with more hummingbirds. There are so many things out there that eat them. But they are so fast, and they are so fierce, and they are so tough that they are incredible survivors. And we gave them a chance at surviving that they wouldn't otherwise have. To give someone back a life that they should have had, what's more empowering than that?
Sai is a great example of how we can all help animals and experience awe and wonder when we get up close to the natural world. The next time you're in a garden, especially with red flowers, keep your eyes peeled for hummingbirds. Though they are small and delicate, these tough little birds are also very inspirational.
Hummingbirds are fragile and small, but also the fiercest little birds of all. Sai helped the hummingbirds grow and fly, so they can zoom around the flowers and the sky.
A quick word here for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff that kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. Constant Wonder is on an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.